The sermon text is the second lesson from St. Paul's letter to the Romans, chapter 16. Now to him who is able to strengthen you, according to my gospel and the proclamation of Jesus Christ, according to the revelation of the mystery that was veiled in silence for long ages past, but now has been revealed through the prophetic scriptures and made known to all the Gentiles, in keeping with the command of the eternal God, resulting in the obedience of faith to God, who alone is wise, be glory forever through Jesus Christ. Amen. The word of the Lord. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit. Amen. Don't worry, God has a plan. Have you ever heard that before? Have you ever said those words to a fellow Christian? Don't worry, God has a plan. When is it that we are most likely to say that or to hear it from a fellow believer? Isn't it when things are going pretty badly at the moment, or when the road ahead of us is looking pretty rough, that we would say something like that? Don't worry, God has a plan. Well, what if I were to say something like that to you this morning, as we come up to the close of a year like 2020. We come to the close of a year where there has been death and destruction all over the place, where there has been frustration and frayed nerves after a year of having to sit around at home, a year of racial tension and political contention. If I were to say that to you this morning, would there be any part of you, even a small part of you, that would hear that and want to roll your eyes and say, sure, God has a plan. Some plan, apparently. What kind of reaction do you think you would get about now if you were to speak those words to a fellow Christian whose restaurant is about to close, or whose grandma is lying in an ICU, or who has fallen a few months behind on her rent? I'm guessing that a roll of the eyes might be about the best possible reaction that you could expect about now. God has a plan is hard to hear and even harder to believe at the end of a year like 2020. God has a plan, some plan, right? I mean, we might think that it would be better if we were the ones who could make the plans for this world, right? If only we were the ones who got to look into the future and move all of the pieces across the board into exactly the places that they should be. If only we were the ones who got to shape things in this life and shake things so that everything turned out right in the end. Because after all, we're the ones who have to live in this world, right? So we know how things should turn out. We know what the plan should be for ourselves, for our family, our economy, our country, our career. Well, if you'll forgive a little bit of non-linear thought this morning, I'd like to come back in a few moments to the idea that God has a plan for us right now in the present. And first, I'd like to talk about a plan that God had. Now, this is the plan that St. Paul was writing to the Christians in Rome about. Is that letter from St. Paul to the Romans that you heard the very last three verses of earlier in this service. Now, of all the books in the Bible, it's this one, St. Paul's letter to the Romans, that most clearly teaches the love of God the Father in sending His Son into the world. And of all the books in the Bible, it's this one, Paul's letter to the Romans, that most vividly lays out everything that Jesus Christ did to take our sins away. And it's this book of the Bible, Paul's letter to the Romans, that most thoroughly teaches the work of the Holy Spirit in bringing us to faith in this loving triune God, Father, Son, and Holy Spirit. And then, at the end of all that, at the end of all of that beautiful writing about the amazing love and the eternal grace of God, at the very end of that letter, St. Paul has this message for the Christians in Rome. Christians, praise God. Give Him glory. To God be glory through Jesus Christ forever and ever. Amen. Why? because he had a plan. He had a plan to save you, and it worked. God had a plan to do something very good for the crown of his creation, the human race, after the crown of his creation was very bad to him. After the first two human beings turned away from their loving Lord and followed the lies of Satan instead, God stepped in with a plan. It was a plan to save. It is a plan that St. Paul calls the gospel. This gospel plan, the plan to save, was to send a Messiah, a Savior, into the world through a nation that God chose to carry the promise, the nation of Israel. For centuries before this promised Savior was born into the world, God sent prophets into the nation of Israel to proclaim and predict exactly what this Savior would do to take away our sins. And all through those centuries, the Lord was busy. He was working. He was planning. He was moving all of the pieces around so that the Savior would be born in just the right place, at just the right time, and in exactly the right way that those prophets predicted it would happen. And when the time finally came for that Savior to be born in the little town of Bethlehem, the Lord kept working. He kept moving this plan of salvation forward so that when that Savior grew up, the Lord led him out into the wilderness to confront Satan and his temptations, to overcome, defeat Satan in our place. And then the Lord kept working. He kept moving his plan so that this Savior would be led into Jerusalem and led to the cross where he would suffer and die for our sins. God worked it so he would come out of the grave, as predicted, 3 days after his death. And God kept working so that the followers of this Savior would record what he said, the holy life that he lived, his sacrificial death, his resurrection, so that this gospel, this saving plan, would stick and stay in this world. And then God arranged for that saving gospel to spread out all across the world. Just before that Savior ascended back into heaven, he sent those followers out with the message of God's saving plan. He told them to start right there in the nation of Israel and then to go out to all the world and the Gentile nations. And that's how it happened, that only about 30 years after that Savior ascended back into heaven, these people in Rome had already heard the saving plan. And that saving plan had already created faith in the hearts of these Romans. And now, just 3 decades later, St. Paul was already writing to these people and simply laying out to them in greater detail the full impact of everything the triune God had done to save them. God had a plan. He had the gospel plan, the plan to save, to send salvation into this world, and then to send the good news of that salvation out to every nation. And his plan worked. Now, there are about 100 different places along the way in that plan. There's about 100 different places where a human brain would have stepped in and said, God, look, appreciate your heart's in the right place. You love us. You want to save us, take our sins away. But God, look, let's think this through, this plan that you have. I'm pretty sure there's a better way to do this. First of all, God, if you're going to choose a nation to carry the promise of the Savior, don't pick some rinky-dink nation like Israel that nobody cares about, God. If you're going to choose a nation to carry the promise of a Savior, choose some giant, powerful empire, because then people might actually hear about it and they might actually care. And God, look, let me explain this to you, God. If you're going to send your word into this world through human beings, through prophets, don't send it to some raggedy, disrespected, unknown prophets in the nation of Israel. Lord, look, if you want to send your nation, your word into this world, send it through renowned philosophers, famous thinkers. And Lord, look, when the time comes to send this Savior into the world, don't send him to some backwater town like Bethlehem to be born to a couple of nobodies like Mary and Joseph. Lord, send him to be born to a king and queen. Send him to be born into a palace. Then people might actually notice him and might know that he's there. And God, one last thing here. Look, when you send the good news of this salvation out into the world, Don't send it out with fishermen and tax collectors. When you send out your salvation into the world, send it with refined, multilingual world travelers, because then it might actually get where you want it to go and be understood, and people might actually believe it. Look, Lord, there's 100 different ways that you could improve on this plan. Lord, what kind of plan is this anyway? Does that sound familiar? You know, God promises us in His Word that He does still have a plan. He has a plan for you and me right now in the present. And He tells us in His Word, in general terms, what His plan is for us. God's plan is to use absolutely everything that happens in this world for our eternal good. God's plan is to take us by the hand through the struggles and the strife of this life, finally to His side and His heavenly kingdom. God's plan is to use the troubles and the turmoil of this world to pin our souls to Him, to turn our hearts constantly back to the cross of His Son and to Jesus' empty tomb, to strengthen and refine our faith until we finally reach His side in His heavenly kingdom. That is God's plan for us right now. And there may be 100 different ways along, 100 different places along the way in that plan where human minds like yours and mine might start to question and to doubt. God, what kind of plan is this anyway? What kind of plan is it if it involves a pandemic and overflowing ICUs and economic hardship and past due bills and political and racial division? Lord, why does your plan have to be so hard? Why does everything have to be so difficult? Lord, why can't you just make everything smooth and comfortable so we can coast through life until we reach your side in heaven? Lord, what kind of plan is this anyway? You know, when St. Paul was closing his letter to the Romans, he wrote this about the plan that God had, his gospel plan to save. According to my gospel and proclamation of Jesus Christ, according to the revelation of the mystery that was veiled in silence for long ages past, but now has been revealed through the prophetic scriptures and made known to the Gentiles, in keeping with the command of the eternal God, resulting in the obedience of faith. Now, you could say whatever you want about God's gospel plan, His plan to save. He may have done it in a way that is confusing to our human logic. He may have done it with a kind of wisdom that is concealed from the human mind, a wisdom that has to be revealed and explained to us. And He may have done it doing things that don't make much sense, like choosing a country like Israel to carry forward His promise, and using fishermen and tax collectors to take the gospel out to the world. Really, the entire plan from start to finish is what St. Paul calls a mystery. But guess what? It worked. That plan, start to finish, makes so little sense to us. The wisdom of God's salvation that is concealed from our minds and has to be revealed and explained, it worked. It worked to bring salvation into this world in Jesus Christ, and God's plan to spread that message to the nations worked so that the Roman Christians heard about God's love in Christ. They believed it, and they received the gifts of God's salvation, the forgiveness of sins, and the eternal life. So what kind of plan was it anyway? It was a plan that worked because it was a plan that was God's. Now, we may start to wonder sometimes about the plans that God has for us right now in the present. What kinds of plans are these that involve so much difficulty and so much hardship? Why can't it just be easier? And what absolute, stupid, pig-headed arrogance that is for sinful minds like yours and mine to take up the task of telling God how He should carry out His plans. You know, before we start asking God, what kind of plan is this? There is another question that we should really be asking ourselves first, which is, just who in the world do we think we are anyway? You know, here is the first line, the very last sentence that Paul writes to the Romans. He says, to God, who alone is wise. Here's a little reminder that maybe we as God's people could use about now. God is God, we are not. St. Paul says, he alone is wise. He alone. So if God alone is wise, that excludes everybody else from being wise. It excludes me from being wise, and it excludes you from being wise. And God's plans may not make any sense for us. The plans that he has for us in the present may not make any sense to us why he is carrying these things out the way that he is, but we know this about God's plans. They will work because they're his plans and he alone is wise. God's gospel plan, his plan of salvation, worked to bring the forgiveness of sins into this world and to put faith in the hearts of the Romans, and not just their hearts, but it worked to produce faith all the way down to us, 2,000 years later on the other side of the world. And God's plans for us in the present will work too. Now, I'm not intending to say by any of this that a pandemic or economic carnage or political strife, that any of these things are good. Of course, all of these things are bad. None of these things are good. But what I am saying is that our God is wise enough to use these things as part of his good plans for us, to refine and strengthen our faith until we reach his side where none of these kinds of problems are ever going to touch us again. And that means that it is time for us as God's people to stop complaining and to stop questioning the way that he is carrying out his plans and to simply humble ourselves and do what St. Paul says. To God, who alone is wise, be glory forever through Christ Jesus. There it is. Simply give glory to God. And when do we do that? Forever. All the time, even when God's plans are baffling to us. And how? Through Christ Jesus. There it is. That is the real key. We are now only 5 days away from celebrating the birth of our Savior. And when God's plans for us in the present are not making sense to us, and when we are tempted to start complaining and questioning, that is the time for us as God's people to look into the manger of Bethlehem and see that holy little boy. And that is the time for us to look up to Jesus' cross and to look into his empty tomb and remember, God had a plan to save us. And it worked because he alone is wise. And his current plans will work just as surely as that one did. Amen.